Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar. Remix.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu, King of Spice desu, Kobashi Kenta, Hidaka Aikuto, onegai shimashita.
What? Ojiganamata, how the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Welcome to your favorite Thursday night hotspot, The Rack, right here on WildTalkRadioNetwork.com, brought to you by PWMania.com. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me this evening is the awesome Aussie from Down Under, Mace.
I love that song that we opened with. All I can think is Iron Man's entrance in the Avengers.
Yes! Go Iron Man. And, of course, our producer, who is, I think, is about to keel over, Sir Rockin.
When did we become WildTalkRadioNetwork.com?
I don't know. WildTalkRadio.com. I got distracted by a football game, okay? One of the Giants players wasn't wearing protection, and I got distracted. Leave me alone.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
She's perving on the guys again.
Yes, again. You know, I'm just a big ball of estrogen. Yes. What can you do with me?
You can join us in our fantasy
plenty of things that can't be repaired on the air.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us if you're on our live new fancy chat room. Thanks to Tim All Cap Stein.
Fancy dancy chat room.
And I think he even put an intro for it.
He did. And how come Mace has a percentage sign by his name? What does that mean?
I think he's half an op, according to the thing. Tim gave him a half op. It's not a full op.
Oh, I see.
Because
Rock gets to be
one. He's already... No, because he's already kicked me from the room once.
So, Tim, you could be nice and give Lindsay a half op if you would like, you know. But I guess Mace is Tim's favorite.
Yeah. Hashtag favorite.
Oh, please. Does this mean I have to crack it over, you know... not being allowed to distract the show with pictures of Kane and then run off and cry on another podcast nobody ever listens to?
That's up to you, man.
Okay, so you'll see me next Tuesday night on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Oh, can you tell we're having so much fun tonight?
Oh, we're just, yeah, we got a vent, but...
We can have fun somehow,
so we're cracking jokes at people's expenses. If you get offended, well, sorry.
How do you know this is even me? This could be Massive Q from Jaegers.
Yeah, this is true.
I know the difference between
the two. I'm not 100% sold.
Whatever you say, Scott. Train! Tracks! Nah, they're not going.
We're already derailed. 5 minutes in the show, we're derailed.
Sweet record!
If you'd like to call into the show tonight, it's 267-297-1397. We'll take your phone calls all night long, because, well, why not?
Yeah, because we haven't done it in a while, and we forget to tell everybody we have a phone number. Yeah. So,
good job posting.
Yeah, I'm a slacker, what can I say?
Slacker. Slacker.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to start the show like we always do, and it's going to be with, of course, our question of the night. If you're new to the show, we open every week with a question that we discuss at the end of the show, and we want our listener feedback, so please come into our chat room, chat with us, talk to us. As the disclaimer says, we read everything you say. Now, whether we read it on air or not, that's up to us, but we do read it, and occasionally we will give you a shout-out if we think it's awesome. So please come into our chat room, please say awesome things, and you'll get lots and lots and lots of shout-outs. So the question of the night is as follows.
We don't bite. We do nibble slightly. Depends on how you taste.
Actually,
especially if you got JR's barbecue sauce on hand.
Actually, I bite on the first date. I should probably warn everybody now. So the question of the night is as follows. How would wrestling change with an instant replay?
Flag on the field.
Flag on the field. And all the Giants won and nobody's there to see them win.
Woohoo! The Giants win.
That wasn't a win. That was a reaming with a spike-laden dildo.
I believe they were the underdogs, too.
Wow.
Panther. What do you expect?
Both teams came in at 1-1, and, you know, now the Panthers are 1-2, and the Giants are 2-1. Woohoo! Go Giants! Yeah.
Okay. I refuse to say that phrase. It hurts my...
It really hurts saying that. I'm just saying. It really hurt.
At least
I know so far that I at least have one correct this week.
Yes. I think we all got this one right, so yay! And the stupid point spread will not affect us, goddammit.
No, not this time. But yeah, question I, as Lindsay said, it's, you know, what kind of effect would, you know, what would happen if wrestling had instant replay? We have some unique opinions on it, including one from Tim. So we're going to discuss that later in the program. And if, you know, people want to call and talk about it, we'll take phone calls later about that as well.
Yeah, and can't wait to hear that one. But moving on, we've got...
Yeah, because we want to hear Tim's opinion on everything.
Well, we've missed Tim. You know, he hasn't been around lately. He's been Lord knows where, doing Lord knows what and Lord knows who. So...
He was in the conservatory with a candlestick and a sheep.
Did the sheep have a name? And was he wearing pantyhose and spike heels at the time?
Apparently he says
it was called Jeff.
Wow, that was just... I have no segue. We're just going to go right into the news. Because, yeah. So, anyway, John Cena had elbow surgery this week.
Yeah, he did.
And he's apparently out for at least 6 to 8 weeks, and he doesn't seem...
Game over, man! Game over! The whole company's going down, man!
Well, it's not even that. He went... Not only is he out for 6 to 8 weeks, but then he went on a rant on Twitter at WWE.com about it.
Yeah, he got on the Twitter machine and ranted and raved about, you know, WWE getting the gossip wrong.
Yeah, apparently they were saying Cena was going to be back in 14 days, and Cena said there was no way. He was going to be out for a little while, and he said, you know, if WWE.com had bothered to call me or called Dr. James Andrews, they probably would have gotten their facts straight. And so, yeah, he basically reamed them on Twitter, which was kind of a dickish thing to do. I mean, I get they didn't get their stuff right, I guess, but... Really, dude?
He came back to say he's less grouchy today, and he apologized to them.
Oh, okay.
But he went on a rant.
You know, no. But if anybody else had done that, they would have been suspended or something like that. John Cena? Nah, just apologize. Slap on the wrist. Off you go.
By the way, we had another suggestion for the sheep's name, and that was Spug.
Spug is not a sheep. He's a hedgehog.
Is his name Sonic?
No, it's Spug.
Spug the Hedgehog.
Is he cousin of Sonic?
Yeah, the very slow cousin of Sonic.
Oh, okay. So he's like Aaron Rodgers' brother. He just tends bar on the weekends.
He's more like Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Ah, okay. Gotcha, gotcha.
But yeah, back to this whole John Cena thing.
Yeah.
He had burnt bone spurs in his elbow, and WWE got the information of before the surgery, about the 2 to 3 weeks. They went in, there was a lot more in there, so they had to, you know, clear a lot more out. And that's why he's out at least 6 weeks, which kind of puts it close to Hell in a Cell. It'll be kind of close.
He's out. He's not wrestling. He will still be on WWE TV, people. Don't do a backflip just yet. He's still gonna be there. So, he'll probably just be doing promo work. But yeah, that does cut it close to Hell in the Cell. But methinks they're gonna sacrifice Hell in the Cell to have him ready for Survivor Series.
Which we'll get into on another show. What do you do with John Cena? This Sunday we'll talk about it on Wrestle Talk Radio. What do you do with John Cena, or what do you do with the main event of night of Hell in a Cell?
I can think of plenty of things to do with John Cena. It's just none of them are PG, and none of them can be said on air.
Hey, no.
And none of mine can be done without high volumes of explosives. Mind you, what could they do with the main event of Hell in a Cell? Let me think. Maybe they could let the World Heavyweight Champion headline a fucking show.
he made a
Yeah, fight. I know. Maybe my silly ideas that are founded in some sort of, you know, logic and tradition.
Yeah. Go figure on that. But speaking of explosive, there's been an explosive return to TNA Wrestling.
Wait, who's back?
The Blueprint, Matt Morgan, has made his return to TNA Wrestling. Yeah, instead of going to WWE, he re-signed with TNA, which, after thinking about it, yeah, it was a smart move for him. And I don't know when he's going to show back up on TV, but he was at house shows this weekend doing run-ins and making his presence felt.
Ooh, scary. Matt Morgan's back. Woo.
Now here's the question. Matt Morgan's a big stocky dude. Leader of the Aces and Eights is a big stocky dude.
Has he been there the entire time?
Something to think about. And also, in regards to TNA Wrestling, we've got good news for Impact too, or at least those of you that watch Impact.
All five of you.
Yes, all five of you, including us.
To all two of you.
Yes. Impact is staying live through 2012.
That's big for them.
That's huge. I'm happy to hear that.
There will be the occasional show that isn't live for the rest of the year around the holidays, but for the most part, every week they will be live.
Which is phenomenal.
Yes. It's a good thing for them. So
congratulations to them from Spike.
Yeah, they will be... discussing what they're going to do with 2013 and, you know, soon, but they're pretty pleased with how things have been going, so it's a positive step in the right direction for the company right now that they get to be live every Monday, every Thursday, and it really helps the show.
It does. So, yay! Yay for that, yay for Live Impact. But I guess not so great for Live would be WWE and, well, something that happened at Night of Champions.
You mean that John Cena didn't win the belt? That's bad for WWE?
No comment there. No. Turns out their anti-superstar, as he's been branded by WWE Magazine, Randy Orton... Did a no-no. He apparently flipped the crowd at Night of Champions a little bird, and somebody got it on picture, and of course, they tweeted it. And within hours, it was all over the interwebs.
It was trending worldwide.
It was. So, of course, they want Randy Orton to trend, just not for flipping everyone off. Which, honestly, I have to say, It seems like a big to-do over nothing.
Yeah, it really was a big to-do over nothing.
But it's not PG, you know. Everything's got to be PG.
They are a PG company.
This is true, but honestly, it was, what, a 5-second hand gesture that made it on a pay-per-view and they can edit it out?
Honestly, I didn't see it when it first happened.
Yeah, I didn't even see it.
But then again, I wasn't paying that close attention to the feed at the time.
Yeah, it's called, we were watching football in addition to the pay-per-view, so we didn't necessarily catch all the little things. But we sure as hell caught that on Twitter, as did the rest of the internet, when that picture broke. But yeah, I mean, it seems like, I get they're supposed to be PG, but it's a 5-second hand gesture at most. Get over it. Although they seem hypersensitive as they're pulling stuff down from the Attitude Era on YouTube, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. They're going crazy for pulling things down, but we'll get into that later in the program.
Yes.
But I think on that note, we should take our first break of the evening.
I think we should as well.
Then let's do that one. Let's take a break.
All right, so you are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and when we come back, we'll have our TNA Impact review, as well as our Tweet of the Week. So, tune in and listen. We'll be right back.
I am the master of this game, and everybody knows my name, and I will gladly make should not have messed with me. But you have thrown the gauntlet down on the only one who wears the crown. So I will gladly hunt you down, and I'm gonna stomp you into the ground. And you know it's true, I'm just better than you.
It started as a ride on the short bus.
Today on, well, yeah, right now on a subject of matter is, as McConnell liked to say, bitches. Patriot.
And it's turned into the worldwide phenomenon known as your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night.
If I can find out how to record shit on my phone while I'm in the middle of plowing, I'll just say, yay, listen to CB Radio!
On October 20th, the biggest milestone since the night Big Daddy Ace threw up on the air is reached.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can. Keep in mind, well, this is all for you.
It's the 250th episode of CB Radio.
Let's look out. Do I see my shadow? Oh, look! It's 4 billion years of awesome radio!
Join us for all the weird.
The plan is that now you're getting dragged into it. You and Rob are going to come up to my place in North Carolina, and we're going to have one big drunken episode.
Whoa, we don't swing that way, dude.
Not like that.
No spooning involved.
We're all wearing shoes, jackass.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Wacky.
So, shouldn't, like, midget porn be half off?
You know, actually, they say it's double.
Yeah, that's an exotic right there.
I'd have to argue with that, though. I'm like, well, he's only half a woman, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you can fit more midgets on a thing than you can full-grown people.
And the unusual.
And apparently nudity is allowed if you're a female. So we don't want any male genitalia.
But it took me a long time to actually paint your face. That's part of the cost, is the role play.
Oh, right.
Batman and the Joker, I still can't get the green paint out of my snatch.
For the 250th episode of CB Radio, Saturday night, October 20th, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas with Big Daddy Ace, Sir Rockin', Subway was on, Rob Park was on, DP was on for a little bit, William McConnell was here for a short while, then he decided to fucking... You know what? Me and Rob Park, we're all hammered. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out, bitch asses.
Yeah.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait and made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we lost when we start talking hockey. Four.
I went too. Huh?
Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
Oh, what's he doing? He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes so you guys can pick up.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's like pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network. Well, it's a do to say about it.
They say it's new, but if you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the cat patrol. Foes that want to make sure my cask is closed. Rap critics saves money, cash holes. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you grew up with holes in your zap of toes, you celebrate the minute you was having dope. I'm like, fuck critics, you can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio if I don't play they show. They don't play my hits, well, I don't give a shit. So, rap mags try and use my black ass so advertisers can give them more cash for ads, fuckers.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com. If you're just joining us, you missed all the news and notes of the week, and also our question of the night, which I'll go ahead and repeat for you. It is as follows. How would wrestling change with instant replay? Food for thought. But I think now we should get into a little Impact.
Yeah, and that's why we played that song. It was an interesting night of Impact tonight.
It was, yes.
But we had a big surprise appearance at the start of the show.
We did.
The one, the only, Shaquille O'Neal.
It was awesome to see him there.
But he had Hogan's back all night long. But we didn't see him again.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you know, he had his back in spirit.
Right. Unless he was the guy who let the aces and eights in.
Maybe, but they didn't get in this week, did they?
No. They stopped someone from getting in. We'll get into that.
Yeah, I have to cry about that. But show opens with Hulk Hogan and Shaquille O'Neal. They're threatening the aces and eights, and Shaq is saying he's got Hulk's back in the show, so go Shaq. You look like a pretty bad dude, but those guys have hammers. And tire irons and chains and they have
haven't you ever seen him in his greatest superhero role ever, Steel?
Oh jeez. I saw him in Shazam.
Why would you even admit that?
Yeah.
Because I was babysitting and I had to take the kids to something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I did!
Right, you just weren't the first one in line for the movie. Okay, okay.
She wanted to hear Shaquille O'Neal rap.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm totally the person that would stand in line for Shazam. Yeah, that is right up there with Space Jam. Just
don't
saying.
Be knocking Space Jam. Don't be knocking Space Jam.
Wasn't the original voices.
Don't be knocking.
Seriously, female bunny with bunny boobies? What the fuck were they thinking?
Thank you. Anyway. Back to Impact, because, you know, rails, train. Nowhere even close to each other. TNA opens up the show, and it's open fight night. And he also says Shaq will be back later, which he never was. But anyway, out come the challengers for one set of challengers, I should say, for the tag championships, AJ Styles and Kurt Angle. They remind us all that they used to be tag champs and that they got screwed by Kaz and Daniels. And then there was actually apparently two screwings. Didn't know that, but okay. They got screwed once, and then they got screwed at No Surrender. I don't know why they would admit that, but moving on. But Angle says AJ gave him hope.
He did. He gave him hope because, you know, they can once again get a shot at the titles.
They did. They won their number one contenderships last week, but there's a dilemma.
What's the dilemma, Lindsay?
Well, seems there is another set of number one contenders.
Wait, there are? How can there be two sets of number one contenders?
Well, per Hulk Hogan's ruling last week, if either Kaz or Daniels or both lost, then one or both teams would get a shot at the World Tag Team Champions of the World. And, well, Kaz and Daniels both lost, much to our chagrin.
Yeah. So we have two sets of number one contenders, so they weren't happy with us.
No, they weren't. And Angle said that basically since it's open fight night and because the fans deserve to know who the real number one contenders are, he's going to call out Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez.
And they came out and we had a match.
Which was actually a pretty decent match.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. I don't know. I still can't get into this whole Chavo thing. I don't know. Something's missing.
My only issue with it was that they kept showing Hector Guerrero during the match.
Right.
And kept talking about the Guerrero legacy and referring to it. Which I have no problem with the legacy itself. I have an issue with Chavo piggybacking off of it.
Yeah, I have a little bit of issue with that as well. So.
And I'm sure that isn't 100% his call. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with TNA Creative, but it's, you know, his last name is Guerrero. We can kind of connect the dots. You don't need to connect it for us that he's a part of this great wrestling family. We know. Okay, we all know. So, but, I mean, one of the things I've always wanted to see is Chavo move on from that box they've got him in. And either he can't move on or Creative won't let him move on.
Yeah, this is true.
Because he has the talent.
He's a good wrestler, but he falls back on his name.
Yeah, and it's getting a little old. They did it in WWE, did it way too long there, and now they're doing it in TNA, and I'd rather them talk about, you know, him being showing his stuff in India and talking about how he made a name in India for himself and how he's wanting to make that same name over here and so on and so forth, but it doesn't seem like they're going to do that.
But
anyway.
Anyway, yeah, this matchup, you know, was good, I guess, or decent, and then, well, we didn't have it finished because the World Tag Team Champions of the World, well, they ran in and attacked AJ Styles and Chavo Guerrero.
No Appletini. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, there was no Appletini, but they came in, laid him out. Hernandez got back up and chased them up the ramp, which brought out Hulk Hogan, brother.
We had to hear that porno music way too many times tonight. But, yep. Hogan makes his first appearance of the evening with the baseball bat. I guess he stole it from Sting. He stops everything, and Hogan says that he's got 99 problems, and aces and eights are the biggest ones, but hence at least a bitch isn't one of them.
Hence the music.
He's been wondering.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was going to finish, continue on. He said that he was trying to figure out which of the challengers wanted it more, but now the champions gave him the answer. So he made a triple threat tag team match between the three teams at Bound for Glory for the titles.
And there was much sadness by the World Tag Team Champions of the World who were not happy with that decision one bit.
No, they're not happy. They're not happy that they face four people at, for the, their titles.
It's okay. I have confidence in them. They will kick ass, and they will continue to reign. We're behind you, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian.
If you do not watch Backstage Pass or the post-show, you must watch it just for Christopher Daniels and Frank Kazarian alone.
Oh my god, they're epic. They need their own TV show.
They really do. Or a YouTube show.
Yeah. Pierceman, we all want our Apple Teeny, but sadly we didn't get it this week.
Yeah, there was no Apple Teeny.
But
go ahead.
Oh, so work out which way's on. Yeah, that one. supposedly Christopher Daniels teased this week on the post show that next week he will give out his Apple Teeny recipe.
My god, they heard us on Twitter. Why ask for
even
it?
Though we, even though we don't deserve it, he's going to quite possibly give us the Apple Teeny recipe next week.
It's a tease.
Probably.
It's a tease. He's teasing us with his Apple Teeny.
But you see, this is what happens when you tweet Christopher Daniels and then the marketing guy retweets you. You get the Apple Teeny recipe for the win.
Damn right.
All me. Thank you very much. But after the match and the announcement, we move to the backstage where TMZ guy is with Al Snow. And, well, in breaking news, Al Snow cut his hair. Hairgate continues.
Everyone's cutting their hair. Well, he's still
It's even gone cross company now.
Bastards. But at least Snow, to breathe a sigh of relief, didn't cut it all off. He's still got a little bit of length. It's up to the shoulders now, but yeah, it's definitely shorter. But basically, they talk about Gut Check, and he's so excited about the new guy. You know, he thinks it's a real asset for the guy to be 18 and having 5 years experience already in the business. Excuse me. And that this new kid, I don't know his name, sorry.
Evan Markopoulos.
Thank you. Great guy. Embodies everything that is Gut Check. Then they talk about Joey Ryan, and Snow says that, you know, he's the one that was a man, he's the one that stood up, he made the offer to Ryan, and Ryan backed away like a pussy. But they question whether Snow went too far by slapping Ryan, and he says he's going to find out as he's headed to the principal's office, aka Hulk's office, right now.
Speaking of Hulk Hogan, he was on the phone with his attorney, his lawyer from Park, Joseph Park.
Yay!
Joseph Park said he has the information with him. He has the evidence that Hogan needs. But he's all the way back in the line.
He's stuck in traffic. Damn that traffic!
They won't let him in, so he has, you know, Hogan's gonna send security there and get him up in the line and get him in. And he has to go right to Hogan to give him the information. Because we have he probably knows who they are.
Yeah. And he probably knows where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, then we see a Bound for Glory package, and then up next is
Before we continue, that was a crazy dive Joe did in that replay of Bound for Glory they showed.
Oh my god, yeah.
Him diving out of the luxury box, wow, I remember that. That was kind of crazy.
Samoa Joe. Crazy mofo.
Yeah, damn right. But anyway, continue.
We come back and we get Evan Markopoulos, his video package from last week. Basically, they build him up and say, Gut Check is next.
Gut Check.
Gut Check. Bruce Pritchard loves saying that word.
Speaking of Bruce Pritchard, he was backstage with Dixie Carter. They were talking about the Aces and Eights, trying to figure out who was behind the group.
Yeah, and I like how they noted, at least in the recap, the audio in this segment was really off.
Yeah, it was... I thought it was me. Because that's,
no!
That's what you do. You think it's you at first, and then, okay, you read, oh, everyone else is having problems.
Yeah, it was like I was sitting there, and I was like... Because I was sitting here watching it, and I'm like... Okay, the audio is like 2 seconds ahead. It's like a bad YouTube video or something, but it's on my TV, so I can't do anything about it except there's something soft at it. So it's like, well, crap. So aside from the distracting idio, Bruce Pritchard wonders if they're doing the right thing and if it's enough, and then Al Snow interrupts them and he lets us know it's gut check time. To which Bruce and Dixie say that they'll finish their conversation later.
Speaking of gut check, it's time for Gut Check, featuring Evan Markopoulos taking on Douglas Williams.
And what was a decent match? It was better than the clusterfuck from last time.
Yeah, this guy has a little bit more talent than the last person. But he's young, and they may sign him, I don't know.
He would be a good one that they could send up to OVW and kind of sort of learn him up and season him up there and then bring him back down.
Yeah, and which they're dealing with a lot of people, and that's why Douglas Williams was in the ring with him. I don't know. It's a match. If I were with TNA, I wouldn't put him through on Gut Check.
It depends on how if he's already up in OVW right now. I don't know if he is or not. But most people seem to be, so...
Right. But I don't know if I would put him through. I would, decline him and still send him his OVW and stuff, but never don't give him the gut check contract.
Yeah. So, anyway, Douglas Williams won, by the way.
Yes.
Via submission.
Yes.
And up next is the one, the only cowboy, James Storm, and, well... He's getting ready to slap a bitch. I mean, Bobby Roode.
Yeah, he came out and he was, told everyone last week it's open fight night. He was going to call Bobby Roode, and that's exactly what he did. And, well, out came Roode, but he was wearing a suit.
Well, at least Roode comes dressed, impeccably, even for an ass kicking. You got to give him that,
Yeah.
Class right there.
Very classy. Basically, Roode turned down the challenge, which I didn't think you could do.
I didn't think you could do either, but apparently you can, and Bobby Roode did it. By the way, pop for the AMW coat.
Bobby Roode basically said he guaranteed as long as he's around, Storm will never have another shot at the TNA title. Roode said he was done with Storm and told him to fight someone else if he wanted a fight. So Bobby Roode left, and then the Hulkster showed up.
Yep, he told Roode, well... It's open fight night, and apparently you can't turn down a challenge, and he has a choice. He can either go out there and fight, or he can basically sit on the bench without pay for the rest of 2012. It's his choice, and he has 3 minutes.
Did somebody say 3 minutes?
Somebody said 3 minutes.
I like how that's, everyone still remembers that.
I was kind of hoping you had the music queued up.
It takes too long to, get into the build. It's a minute build into the song.
Oh, okay. Damn.
But we can go out to it.
Okay, that works. So, yes, Roode has 3 minutes, then that takes us to another commercial break. And when we come back, Storm is in the ring still. He's got the mic. He says he doesn't have it all night. And he demands for Roode to come down to the ring. Roode returns, suit and all. He takes off his coat. Which was hot. And he's undressing as he goes, by the way, which was just... Anyway, sorry. Ball of estrogen. He's interrupted coming all the way to the ring as James Storm hops out of the ring and the two proceed to go at it. Including hitting each other with shoes.
Yeah, who throws a shoe? Anyway, yeah, they beat each other up for a while until the referees pulled them off apart and they continue to brawl a little bit. I want to ask this question. We'll get into this a little bit later about James Storm, but do you see it? Is it me or does TNA not see this as a money match?
They honestly, they shot the load on the match at lockdown for me. There's, as much as I want to see this, I don't. Just because all the heat from the feud is gone.
And I'm going to say this, they killed it before then. They killed it back in January when they had them fight in England. You should have never had them in the ring together on the build to lockdown. And there's a car alarm going off outside.
It's 3-minute warning. They're coming for you, man.
It's very distracting, especially with the windows wide open. But yeah, they blew their load with him early on by putting them in the ring together. I don't know. It never seemed as big as it should have. They kind of killed it from the start.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to give it some heat, and the screw job at No Surrender helps.
Yeah.
But it's it's James Storm and Bobby Roode. Okay, we know it's going to be a good match, but there's really no reason at this point for these two to be fighting other than it's semi-personal. But one thing I did like about this particular segment is the brawl before, during, and after the match. How they just, you had Storm just go after Roode.
Oh yeah, the brawl was fantastic. Storm didn't give up. It was perfect. They're building it fine. It just, I think TNA's lost faith in this match, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get into it later, but yeah, as far as this goes, this is probably one of the segments of the night, just because it had a great feel to it. And I'm sitting here watching it going, okay, let the refs, okay refs, just let them go.
Right.
Don't have it be a match. I mean, if anything, between these two, the only thing that could really sell it is if this is going to be the blow-off for this feud, is you have a knockdown, drag out kind of fight similar to what AMW did when they split, where they did the Texas Death Match or Texas Chainsaw Massacre Match or whatever the hell it was.
Texas Death. My idea was let them do a Last Man Standing match.
That works.
Last Man Standing, you know, that's how you end it. No pinfalls needed. Just you have to beat the living crap out of each other and one man walks out, the other doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, just have it be a brawl to the finish. Don't have it be a wrestling match, because they've had a wrestling match. Now I want to see the two just brawl.
Right. And they're starting to tease us with that, and we'll see where they go with it. Knowing them, we'll just get a false count anywhere match. I want to see something a little bit more.
Yeah, but we'll see how it goes. But yeah, basically, this ended in a draw. They actually started this as a match. Why, I don't know. But they started it as a match. Obviously, it ends in a brawl because they cannot stay in the ring. And then eventually, I think they actually got counted out. That or Brian Hepner was just like, yeah, screw it.
Yeah, he pushed them to the ground or something. I don't remember how exactly. But yeah, they ended in no contest.
Yeah, so, but they kept fighting after the match. And they got basically, they made their way into the backstage area. Roode got sent headfirst into a storage case, then again into a door. The door closes, and the camera doesn't follow them into the room. So that's how it ends, basically, is they go into a locker room and stop fighting.
But then this, we get a cameraman with Hulk Hogan, and he's talking to a crew member backstage about how he needed Joseph Park to be allowed into the building. And then he got a phone call.
He did.
Got a phone call from the Aces and Eights. They declared they had a lawyer. Hogan said he would call them back, and he warned them to get ready to play hard. Hogan told a crewman to describe his previous order as he knew where Park was at.
Yeah, and just as a side note, on Twitter, if you follow them, it's, I believe, just at Aces and Eights.
At the Aces and Eights.
Okay, at the Aces and Eights tweeted out, during the show on the commercial, we have at Joseph Park Esquire, accept our terms, at Hulk Hogan. At which point I wailed and went, no, not Joseph Parks.
They also tweeted at one point, we have been quiet and now we will get quiet. We will quiet the one getting too close to the truth.
Yeah, so it seems, well, maybe Joseph Park isn't a part of it after all.
Guess not.
And so, but And then we come back with, well, Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy.
They were talking backstage. Aries said that Bound for Glory isn't about Hardy coming after his belt. It's about Aries wanting what Hardy has. He says he's going to become a bigger star than Hardy by beating him at the pay-per-view. And he said he basically is going to do something, you know, the things Hardy has been doing, which has been beating the Bully.
I was going to say, wear crazy face paint?
If Austin Aries comes out in crazy face paint next week, then we'll see.
I'm done. I'm done. Just saying. Anyway, after this we had the massive Q's favorite. Not to confuse with Mace, because they're two separate people.
Wait, I thought Mace's favorite diva was Tara.
No.
It's not?
Mace.
I don't think
he's... No.
Well, it's Tim's favorite, I think.
So wait, Tim and Massive Q are the same person?
No. Mace and Massive Q are the same person.
No, they're not. But anyway, moving on. Tara comes out to the ring, and, well, she's in full-on heel mode. Basically, she cuts promo on the locker room, she cuts promo on the fans, and she cuts one on Tessmacher. She attributes turning heel to her big Hollywood star boyfriend out in California, saying that he opened her eyes to the fact that the fans and Tessmacher were just using her to make a name for themselves.
We got a tweet about who her boyfriend is.
Who is her boyfriend?
We got a tweet. Someone said, Carrot Top.
Oh, dear. Yeah, he was big 20 years ago. So, being as it's in open fight night and in the spirit of it, she's going to call out her first victim, and it's, well, Christy Hemme.
But Christy's not a wrestler.
She used to be.
She used to be, but she's no longer a wrestler.
Yeah, Hemme slowly gets in the ring with Tara, yelling insults at her. Tara said that she heard Hemme talking about her. Hemme tells Tara, well, I'm an announcer now, I'm not a wrestler, and Tara says that she knows she's not stupid, but that Hemme needs to show a little, I thought only CM Punk could use this word, but respect. She asks Chrissy who her favorite knockout is, and for some reason, Hemme says Miss Tessmacher. Tara repeats the question, but Miss Tessmacher runs out. Tara tosses Hemme into Tessmacher and leaves the ring screaming, Bound for Glory.
Effective. Builds the match. So it's defining Tara as the heel of the situation.
You know what? We get Tara. I'm totally happy with that.
It's effective. Simple and effective.
But coming back from the break, Hulk Hogan is back out in the ring for a third time tonight, and he...
Hold on, you're missing... You missed something.
I missed something? What did I miss?
You missed the other Hogan.
I thought she was afterwards.
No, according to my recap, has her before.
Oh, I've got her after. But anyway, prior to Hulk coming out for the third time, we had Brooke Hogan backstage.
She chastised her about her actions. She said there will be consequences next week.
Which I didn't think you could do on Open Fight Night. The whole point is you can challenge anybody without any repercussions.
She was trying to say that word. She started to say repercussions and then stopped and then changed it to consequences.
Yeah. They're going to be
consequences.
Consequences. Yes, I caught that too. I was like, what was that?
What was that, Brooke? What?
Repercussions.
There you go.
Yeah. She almost said it wrong, so she stopped herself.
Well, at least she knew to do that on live TV.
Yeah. But Tara basically told her to F off and to bring whatever consequences Brooke may have.
Yes. Now Hulk Hogan came back out.
Now Daddy comes back out for the third time tonight, and he's going to address the phone call he got for Aces and Eights.
Hogan said that Joseph Park was taken hostage by them.
And this is where I started to cry. Hashtag free Joseph.
Hogan said he had no problem playing. Hogan said they wanted him in their clubhouse next week, and he'll be there. but he wanted them to release Park as a sign of good faith. And then the aces and eights appeared on the screen.
Yep, and well, they compliment, they warn Hogan about clubhouse rules, which I have so many dirty comments I can make about that, but I'll be good. And basically, they compliment Hogan on Joseph Park, saying he was good, but they're going to fix that the clubhouse way, and we turn back to see one of the smaller aces and eights with a sledgehammer and a laptop. And the first thought that crossed my mind was, God, how many of us have really wanted to do that? And what follows is the smaller aces and eights member, we'll call him Bunny Foo Foo, takes the sledgehammer and slams it into the laptop, effectively breaking it.
Yes. Then, well, Joseph Park opened his mouth.
Now they've got Joseph Park locked in a little itty-bitty steel cage. And the guy with him's got a hammer.
Oh no. Don't tell me. What's the deal with the hammer?
Well, Joseph Park tells them, you know what? You know, he basically laments the loss of his laptop, saying everything he had, all his weeks of research were on there, but you know what? He's got a backup, and it's in his head. And he tells them it's all right there in his mind, and there's nothing they can do about it. And well, guy with the hammer, he sort of did something about it.
Oh no. What did he do?
He kind of sort of thumped Joseph Parks on the skull.
No! Not Joseph.
Yeah, this is where I cried and said, hashtag free Joseph.
Those bastards, they killed Joseph Park.
Well, hopefully they didn't kill him, but they at least knocked him unconscious. But I want to rant on this for just a second.
Before you do, if you're over listening to us on Blog TV, come over to wildtalkradio.com, join our live interactive chat room, click on the live button so you can interact with all of us as the show is going on the air.
Yes, please come chat with us. Please. We'll read your comments on air if they're witty. But yeah, so can I rant now?
Yeah, you can rant.
Okay, so at the pay-per-view, Hogan was all about keeping the aces and eights out. Mm-hmm. And supposedly the impact zone is on lockdown, right?
Right.
So, if somebody that you're associated with turns up missing, why wouldn't you, do what you did a couple weeks ago at No Surrender and say, call the fucking cops?
Budget cuts?
And then on top of it, Hogan's gonna go to their clubhouse, which, guess what, dude? If you've got the information, which, assuming he doesn't, but assuming he does, why don't you, again, call the cops and tell them there's a hostage situation with some volatile individuals, or, at least for storyline purpose, go get in? Sorry, it was logic. Do you make it? Sense, do you make it?
Sense, motherfucker, do you make it?
Yeah, pretty much. I kind of took issue with the segment. It was a good segment, don't get me wrong, but there were just some obvious holes in that. Plus, I'm starting to think somebody on that writing team is into some pretty kinky torture stuff. At first, we almost have somebody get their tongue ripped out with a pair of pliers, and now Joseph Parks is getting assaulted with a hammer.
They have some kinky fetishes down in that writer's room.
Handcuffs have been involved. Chains have been involved. I mean, somebody's into something down there. I don't know, want to know what, but somebody's into something. But anyway, they cut away. Basically, you see Joseph Park get smacked in the head with a hammer, and then they cut to Hogan's reaction, which I actually think they should have cut to commercial break right before he was going to get hit in the head with the hammer, and then they come back. And they show Hogan's reaction, but not my show.
No, it's not your show.
Yeah. But anyway, we get a little RVD.
That was actually before this segment.
Well, my recap's wrong, so deal with it.
But at this point, we had a hearty recap and promotional video.
Yay.
Yay, and then we had Austin Aries. He came out for his call out. Aries said he has said Hardy has been the bully several times in the last month, so we wanted to do the same thing. So we called out the bully.
He did, and Ray came out.
He did. Bully Ray came out, answered the call, said Aries doesn't have the skills to beat him, and then they got into it with the crowd, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, I will say this is one of the. This was a great way to close the show, just with the crowd reaction, and also Bully. I'm sorry, he's money on the mic. He really is.
I'm gonna be good.
What? Say it.
No, just keep going.
Say it.
No, just keep going.
Say it.
Keep going.
Say it.
Keep
We're not moving on to you.
Just keep going.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No. Just keep going, please.
Face.
Don't bring me into this. I ain't getting in, the love, in between this lover spat.
Keep going.
Type it in the chat
typing,
box.
I'm typing it. Keep going.
Type faster. But anyway, basically, Bully and Austin go back and forth. There were some awesome insults that were traded. Apparently, Austin has balls for calling Bully out.
That's because you don't call Bully out. Bully calls you out.
Right.
Pretty much, yeah. And you could have said that on air.
I was trying to be good. Trying to be good.
But the way we open the show, what's the point of being good?
I'm trying to be good right now. Anyway, Aries, you know, Bully was continuing to talk. Aries dove over the ropes and started attacking Bully Ray. The best part after that dive through the ropes, Aries put on Bully Ray's hat and started beating him up.
I saw that. It was hilarious.
Awesome.
I shall hit you in the face and then I shall steal your clothes. Because I am Austin Aries, damn it.
I am the world champion. I thought that was funny.
Hey, you know what? He is the greatest man that ever lived.
So they had a match. Not bad.
Yeah, they had a match. It was decent enough. Lots of physicality in it. And basically, Bully hits his finisher. Or actually, I'm sorry, Bully wrapped a steel chain around his fist, and he nails Austin with it. And Bully pins Austin for the 1-2-3.
Yes, there was a ref bump involved, and then the slow head count, 1-2-3. Bully Ray beats the world champion.
Yes.
Bully Ray was set to attack Aries again, but Jeff Hardy ran out and made the save. Aries saw Hardy holding the belt and kind of flipped out. They kind of bickered as the show ended.
Which makes me wonder if there still aren't going to be some shenanigans with Jeff Hardy.
Shenanigans, you say?
Shenanigans, I say. Because something tells me Hardy Aries isn't going over like they want it to, so they need something.
You mean we may get a third in the match?
Could. By the way, just as a side note, since I'm sitting here watching NFL Network, Greg Jennings, stop doing the Old Spice commercials and get your ass on TV. Or at least in a football game.
We have some kind of breaking news we can talk about after the break.
Well, let's break it now.
No, actually, we break it at the, on the other side of the break.
Don't even get any say on my own show. Fine. All right. We're just break.
It's called a tease. It's called a tease, Lindsay.
I don't like being teased. Anyway, you are listening to The Rag right here on the WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and we will be right back with some breaking news and Tweet of the Week. A million for my album. My four rhymes and then sell them. Apocalypse now and then. But in the meantime, between, I'm touring down the coast, playing those two and gang of folks. In a gang of cities, in a gang of states. We blow minds like Tet Vets with metal plates. And the dream is to step up, be the leanest, with less than 20 feet and a microphone between us. We drop a hammer like Molinas. Believe us.
your view, like greasy Europeans.
3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes out.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Get fresh them beats since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one arm.
You're kinda weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was gonna ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com. If you're just joining us, thanks so much. You missed our recap of Impact and all the news and notes of the week. But if you've been with us, well, you heard the tease before the break, and we've got some breaking news.
We do have some breaking news. According to PWTorch.com, They had a correspondent at the tonight's NXT tapings where John Cena appeared. John Cena apologized for being unable to compete due to his elbow surgery, but he said he will return on October 11th to compete.
Gee, that sounds relatively soon.
That's like 3 weeks from now. But he went on Twitter stressing he would be out 6.
Perk. Anyway.
Thank you, John Cena.
Yeah, thank you for that. Anyway, let's get to our Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, I love that sounder. I sit here and sing to it every time.
So, we're going to let you start first.
Yeah, I'm going to start first, and mine is kind of breaking news, but my tweet of the week is as follows. Edge is on Twitter! He finally gave in, and he joined the rest of us.
And he's in there full board.
He is. I like to point out that he was on Twitter for 24 hours, and he had 70,000 followers. I think this was kind of wanted. Just pointing that out. Because I know at least my Twitter exploded. I don't know about anybody else's.
Well, you caught it when it first happened. I didn't see it when it first happened.
Yeah, I caught it and I let you know even though you were asleep.
Yeah, I went to bed. Apparently I'm not allowed to do that before 3 a.m. because stuff happens at 3 a.m. Like Edge goes on Twitter. Edge gets on Twitter at 3 a.m. We find out at 3 a.m. Jesus Christ.
Oh, deal with it. So anyway, yay! Edge is on Twitter. So, okay, who wants to go next?
Oh, I'll go. But we should... I'll get to it with my tweet. This one comes from Tommy Dreamer. So, Edge Rated R, which is his Twitter, gets 70,000 followers in a day and is a number one trend worldwide. Looks like I now do jobs on Twitter as well. Hashtag, and he knows how to use hashtags. Which included... By the way, he tweeted Michelle McCool and Tommy Dreamer. It's true, McCool. Hashtags pigs have flown. Hashtag hell froze over. Hashtag the great Kali had a good match.
Aww.
So yeah, follow him at Edge Rated R.
Yes. Squeak! Although we'll see how long it lasts. We'll see if any other holdouts get on Twitter. But, Mace?
Yeah, I've got something. From at SophieAG on Twitter. What's a name for a sugar hangover? Does it even exist in English? It probably does in German. They have words for everything.
Awesome. Sugar hangover is, can I have another cookie, please?
Quite possibly.
That's what I'm going as. But, oh wait, I should look at that one. That one will make me sad. So anyway, those are our tweets of the week. If you want to send them to us, please put them in our chat room, and we will be happy to read yours. As always, we want the fans to participate, so definitely join in.
Before we move on, you should actually read this one to the people. This one's pretty funny. From CM Punk.
Oh, CM Punk. I enjoy getting tweets from illiterate 9-year-olds. The future is in good hands. And I'd like to point out that he spelled is in good hands. IZINGUDHANDSS. Well played, CM Punk.
Point CM Punk.
And you're slammed. But now, I think we should look ahead to SmackDown and find out what's going on. If you read the spoilers. If not, well, we're going to do your preview. And we're not going to spoil it. We don't read those on air. But I think it's safe to say that we can just call this the pilot episode of Anger Buddies starring Dan O'Brien and Kane with a guest appearance by, well, Mr. Twitter himself, Edge.
Yes, the rated R superstar makes his return to Friday Night SmackDown. And, you know, this is not a spoiler because it's in the preview on the TV Guide. You know, he's there to check up on the anger management.
He is. But basically, from what I hear, some exchanges were thrown in, or I'm sorry, some insults were thrown in an exchange, and well, I think there's a hug.
Hmm. But
which, yeah, if there is...
If there is... There's going to be a loud pitch noise coming from Utah at about 8, 12, 15 Eastern time.
Yeah.
So if just, you hear something, it's just Lindsay. Just don't be alarmed. It's just Lindsay.
Yeah, just me.
It's just Lindsay. So.
But yeah, we're also going to have some appearances from Layla and Eve. And Natalya.
Yes.
Oh my God, Natalya made it on SmackDown.
No way.
Sweet.
We're gonna get some sort of tag team action with Sheamus and Randy Orton taking on Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler on the program.
Are we gonna get some sort of rumor from Natalya that she's gonna quit wrestling now? Because you know it seems to be her partner did that on Monday, had an appearance on Raw, and now there's rumors going that she's going bye bye.
Sorry, I started those rumors. My apologies. Follow me at Wild Talk Radio where I start rumors and stuff. My bad.
But yeah, and we're also going to get an appearance from Mr. Personality, Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes will be on the show. Damien Sandow will be on the program. Brodus Clay is going to be in action. We're going to see a rematch between Santino and Antonio Cesaro.
We are.
And, well, something may happen that, well, you may hear in 5 different languages. But yes, it's basically... This
boredom in 5 different languages.
Basically, it's going to be the pilot for Anger Buddies this Friday night on SmackDown.
Which I can't wait. But anyway, so yes, that's SmackDown. Tune in. Watch. We don't actually have a recap for it here on the network, but that's why we do the preview. So tune in, watch, and, tune in to WTR on Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and they may discuss it.
There may be a Canadian on the program.
His name Omega's coming back?
Okay, yeah, Omega will be there. But we may have the second Canadian. There may be a Tim Stein on the program. I can't confirm this.
We're gonna have a Canadian Jew sighting.
We're gonna have the Canadian Jew on the program. I think it's for sure. I'm not 100% sure because you know something may come up. He may burn himself with a cigarette. By the way, there's probably gonna be a new rule. The breaks on WTR may be a few minutes longer because somebody has to smoke. He can't smoke inside any longer, so he has to go outside and smoke. So he's gonna have a smoke break.
Why don't you just get the e-cigarette, man?
I like taking shots at him tonight. It's fun.
I know, but Tim, it's called an e-cigarette. They're $20 here. I'll get you one.
You know $20 is a lot for Tim.
I know it's a lot for Tim, but you know what? In comparison to what he probably pays for cigarettes...
But he makes his own. He makes his own cigarettes.
Still gotta buy the paper and the tobacco.
But he likes doing it. He's weird. It's with his homebrew. Now the question is, did the homebrew travel to the new place?
Can he make the homebrew in the new place?
Guess we'll get those answers on Sunday. And apparently, we're going to get to the bottom of it. Tim says he won't be in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh.
But I think he should be.
I think, Tim, you would make an awesome Frankenfurter. Come on.
I mean,
if you...
Go ahead.
If you don't like who we've got playing Rocky, I mean, we can always trade Rockin' for Spug. It's not that big of a deal.
And he mentioned something about his legs. We'll get to the bottom of it on Sunday.
Dude, if you're worried about your hairy legs, it's called wax. We'll take care of it, trust me.
Lindsay will do it for you.
Yes. And I promise, it won't hurt as I look around innocently.
I'm surprised he hasn't said a word. He's probably not paying attention.
Yeah, he's not listening to us because he's not saying a word and he's not calling in, so...
We should move on.
Yeah, we should move on. We poked the bear enough. But anyway, we're going to get into our first discussion topic of the evening, which we kind of alluded to earlier, and it has to do with TNA and James Storm, and, well, this is Brock's baby, so I'll let him introduce it.
Have they missed an opportunity, a golden opportunity with James Storm? Have they blown it? He was... looked at last year after Bobby Roode was the chosen one last year, going into Bound for Glory. James Storm popularity was on the rise, but Bobby Roode was the focus. James Storm won the world title from Kurt Angle right after Bound for Glory, and James Storm was at his peak. Looked like he were building him as the world champion. He lost the title a couple weeks later to Bobby Roode, so they were continuing to build James Storm as the top superstar. Then lockdown happened, and he didn't win the world title. Since then, he hasn't been pushed as the guy. Even throughout the Bound for Glory series, he wasn't pushed as the guy. He was, you know, there was more focus on other people. He was given the big lead, and he was never the focus. Have they missed the opportunity with James Storm as the top guy, as the top babyface? Do we care at this point if he wins the world title? That's a question posed to you two.
I'll let Mace go first.
TNA seem to have a very weird booking style. Just sort of going over it in my mind as you were explaining your way through the question.
As I tangented through the entire question.
Yeah, pretty much. Trains, tracks, they don't meet ever on this show. I've noticed TNA almost have an opposite mindset to the WWE. Anytime the belt is on a face, they seem to push that person into the background. They even do it with Aries at the moment. He's not a real focus of the company. The focus at the moment is this big heel group in Aces and Eights. Before that, the focus was on Bobby Roode, which was their chosen heel champion for so long. Then there was like the main event Mafia and this. TNA has a habit of making the heels the focus of the show. That they always have to build the bad guys up, have them be the big James Bond-esque villain before heading into a third act that only lasts half an hour and is basically turn your brain off stupid. So they don't seem to grasp that you can have a babyface hero character like James Storm was during the start of the Bobby Roode run and have it get over and have it be a ratings draw. I don't think that they've really squandered the opportunity with James himself, because James is always going to be popular in that company, no matter what.
Right.
But I think that the way that they book things, he's never going to get the recognition he deserves. So if you want to see that as squandering his potential, then yeah, they're probably squandering it.
Lindsay?
I would have to agree with it, with Mace on that one. I mean, as far as this run is concerned, yeah, they've squandered it a little bit, and for now it's over, but James is always going to be over in that company. He's been there. He's one of the longest running guys, that's been there. So, and he's not going anywhere. He's staying right where he is. So until he retires, or TNA goes out of business, whichever happens first, he's not going anywhere. So, I mean, they can build him up and push him down as they want, and they can always put the belt on him whenever they choose to. The nice thing with him is at least they built him to be a credible main event contender for the TNA World Heavyweight title. Mm-hmm. So they can insert him into that picture whenever they need to. But, I mean, I'd have to agree with Mace a little bit as far as their booking style goes, where James will probably never get the push he deserves. Because I remember when he initially won the title, everybody was really excited because it's like, oh God, finally they put the belt on Storm. We've been waiting, what, 10 years for this to happen? Mm-hmm. Because there were a lot of people who always felt James Storm would never make it out of the tag division.
Chris Harris is the star of AMW.
Yes. I mean, I remember all of us having those conversations that, you know, when the split was going to happen, it was James Storm was going to be Marty Jannetty and Chris Harris was going to be Shawn Michaels. And, well. James Storm kicked Chris Harris's ass through that plate glass window, and that was the end of that one.
Yeah, buddy.
So, and I mean, that's perfectly fine. I'm so happy to see Storm succeed. I'm happy to see him get some recognition, but I wish he would get more recognition. And who's to say that they don't put the belt on him after Bound for Glory? And it isn't coming. I mean, but there is, I think, some hesitancy on their part, at least, to put a title on him and have him be the face of that company for right now. And it could be also James doesn't want it. That's something to consider, too. I mean, obviously, you know, every guy's perspective is, I want to win the world title, but maybe every guy doesn't want to carry the company on his shoulders.
That's a good point. If you think back during the run, what might have killed him a little bit, the push, was when they had him, people doubting him with the Aces and Eights. The fans started to boo him.
Actually, you know what? I liked it just because it was something different that they were doing with him.
Oh, I liked it. It was fine, but it somewhat hurt him at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. They didn't follow through on it, or at least right now they haven't followed through on it. I mean, there's nothing to say that Storm couldn't be a part of it later on, but they never, beyond having Bully cast doubt on him, did anything with it. So yeah, that definitely hurt him, but he bounced, at least in my opinion, right back once his name got cleared.
It slowed down his momentum, I think, a little bit. But that happens. He's not at the same, he peaked last year, and at least in my opinion, he peaked last year. Or at the beginning of this year.
I would say he more peaked the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand, and obviously after lockdown, I would have to say lockdown was probably the peak, and then he went out, and he was out for a good amount of time, obviously with an ankle injury, so that can't be helped.
Right.
But that hurt him as well.
True.
And I mean, getting back to what we were talking about before, as far as the Storm Rude match being a money match, I think if they had continued the feud after lockdown and done the blow off outside of Storm getting hurt and having to take time off, that would have kept some interest in the match. But with him going out and being gone for so long and Bobby Roode moving on to other things and then Storm coming back and immediately going into the Bound for Glory series, that hurt that feud, I think, the most, just because it's, James Storm comes back, he's going to enter himself in the Battle for Glory series with the whole point of giving to Bobby Roode, and then Austin Aries wins the belt.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And so then you have nothing concerning Bobby Roode and James Storm with that, and the way they did that was Bobby Roode went out. So that feud, I think, has been a little convoluted as far as what they're doing with it.
I would agree. So I think that's the end of that topic.
Yeah. But yeah. So, and by the way, listeners, if you have an opinion on this topic, you can call in live, 267-297-1397, and we will happily take your calls. Because we keep forgetting to pimp the phone number. And oh my god, that's an underground house. Wow. Anyway,
Shiny thing there.
Yeah. Ooh, shiny!
Shiny.
But this is actually a topic that's kind of heated, and we all kind of have a very strong opinion about, and we came up with this, obviously, last night prepping the show, which is as follows. We teased it earlier with Linda McMahon's campaign is taking down the more racy moments of the Attitude Era and some of the post-Attitude Era stuff in regards to her campaign. It being used against her campaign. In particular, her opponent used the HLA moment, they used the Triple H Katie Vick moment, and they've used various others throughout the campaign to attack her. And it's been noted that, yes, that footage is 10 years old. But, so basically our concern is at this point, is Linda McMahon's campaign killing wrestling's past?
Go to Mace.
Yeah, Mace, you go first.
Straight out, yes, it is. It's basically trying to take a whitewash to wrestling's history for the sake of one person's campaign, because she happens to be married to somebody who has these type of things readily available. I'm going to try and compare this, and feel free to correct me, because my grasp on American politics is sweet fuck and all. When Schwarzenegger went for governor of California, his opponents did not use his movies against him, if I remember correctly.
They didn't use his films, I don't think.
So they didn't pull out, like, body counts in The Terminator or anything like that?
No.
Okay, so why is Linda McMahon different in this case? Why are they using her husband's ideas, her husband's entertainment medium, as an affront to her campaign?
Basically, the reason they're giving is because this happened under her watch. She was the CEO at the time that all of these incidents took place. And so they're using that as a negative for her running for office.
She had nothing to do with the creative process. She was the business manager side of things. She controlled the books. She made sure the paychecks got out. She organized the charities. She did everything besides the actual wrestling and TV production side of things.
Oh, I agree.
All right. So, this is what I don't get, is they're using this, and yet you had a guy like Schwarzenegger become governor of California, even though he's a part of a group of 80s action actors who hold some of the highest body counts in the movies in all time. Yet they never touched him, yet with her, they seem to be pulling any little speck of dirt they could find on YouTube to use against her that she had no direct hand in, besides signing the paychecks to the people that took part in said actions.
I think part of it is that Schwarzenegger, you knew it was a movie.
No, we're not going down this route.
We're not going down this route? Okay.
Okay, yeah, I know the route that you're about to take down. You know, we know movies are fake, yet here it is, we know wrestling's fake too.
You know, wrestling does have a basis of reality.
It's still real.
So does movies.
They do. They all do.
Schwarzenegger knows how to fire a gun, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, he does.
You know, this is the thing, because it's wrestling, we'll get it down to basic what it is. Because it's wrestling, because wrestling is still considered lowest common denominator entertainment. To most people in mainstream media, in the general society, still view wrestling as this fake ballet that is on the same level as NASCAR, that it only goes to the white trash, to the
left turns,
the ignorant, the left turns, the drunken retards of
Don't
the country. I'll mock it the shit ton, especially when Will's around.
Left turns.
But yeah, it's that reputation that wrestling has with the general public and the mainstream media of being this low-brow entertainment medium that gets used against her. And in order to combat this, they're now whitewashing away wrestling's history to make one person's campaign more viable to the public. You know, it's really something that is stupid, because she had nothing to do with it in the outset. And continues to have nothing to do with it now. So, yeah. Brain hurty now.
Think your thing hurt? So, Rock, do you have an opinion? Well, I guess not. So I'll go ahead and go. Am I still there?
Sorry, I had parental.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. It just, no, everything went quiet, and it's like, still in the air.
Yeah,
right?
I was pretty much done anyway, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you. If anything, I think taking the videos down makes it look like they have something to hide. And that irritates me. It's, you know what? Yes, this happened. You can't deny it. One way or another, you have to admit, yes, this happened. Because there's video proof of it. Whether you pull it down off of YouTube or not, it's already out. I mean, if anything, I say you have her stand up and say basically exactly what Mae said. I had no control over the creative process. I made sure the business was run, and that's how you tie it into her campaign, is I took care of the business side of it. People got paid, the company ran, and we ran at a profit. We did it successfully. I handled the business side of it. This is how it ties into my experience. My husband handled the creative side of it. It kind of sounds like a cop-out, and it kind of is.
And just because I sat there in, you know, in a comatose state in the corner or on the stage as my husband made out in front of me, I was not involved in the creative.
They have brought that one up. But yes, that was crossing my mind. But you understand my general point.
Oh, I get it.
You know, as far as she wasn't the one spearheading HLA. She wasn't the one spearheading Katie Vick. She wasn't... these weren't necessarily her ideas. Linda, from what I remember, appeared on TV very sparingly. Mm-hmm. And from what I always heard, she was on the road very little. She was usually always in Connecticut handling business while Vince was on the road running the shows and taking care of that side of it. They split it 50-50 that way. And, you know, for her people to take down those videos and say, you know, act like it never happened is stupid. I mean, all they have to do is get up and say, you know what, that's 10 years old. Or 12, or even 15, depending on what they're using. If it's Attitude Era.
Here's the thing. 15. They don't care. Politicians don't care.
Oh, I know they don't care, but if you want to get up and use the WWE, turn it right back around and put them in their face. Yeah, okay, That happened in our company 10 years ago. Here's what our company is doing now, and that's when you show the Be a Star and the PG product and how it's family friendly, it's good for kids. It's a, and that's what you do.
You
that's
show
how you
off
turn
John Cena.
Yes. You have John Cena come out and endorse her.
It's, you know, it's the Duke Nukem effect, as I like to call it. It's taking something that was done in a completely different era, that was done when the country and the world in general was in a completely different mindset, and judging it by today's standards as crude, rude, and something that should never exist.
I can agree with that. Mm. I mean, it's just, to me, it's cowardly and it's stupid, and I really, honestly don't agree with it. You know what? Stand up and defend your product. Stand up and defend your company.
Stand up for WWE.
There you go.
Well, it's one of these things that it seems that the generation above ours never seems to let go of the past. They seem to be stuck in the same mindset that everything is wrong. Everything, like, we have become this overly politically correct, stupid society, yet we're still judging things that happened nearly two decades ago by today's standards as if it just happened 5 minutes ago. And to be honest, like, you take the stuff that happened in the Attitude Era, yes, some of that is considered extremely crass and, you know, would never be done in today's society. But let's jump back even further. Let's go back to the 80s and the 70s. There are skits there that by today's standards would have lawsuits up the arse, yet nobody will drag that stuff up.
It's not relevant. It doesn't suit their needs right now.
Ah, but that's the thing. Yet they can still drag up something that happened 10 years ago and say it's relevant.
Yep.
Which is the biggest oxy fucking moron I've ever seen in my life.
Welcome, like, to American politics.
Back in the early 80s and the late 70s, from what I've seen of clips, and there was one clip in particular that really fucking disgusted me, was wrestlers beating the shit out of female managers on television. When you could get away with hitting a woman on television and it's, oh, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I remember those days.
You did it. Yeah. But nobody will touch that shit because, well, if they touch that shit, well, guess what? Women lobbyist groups are going to be fucking flying up their ass with fucking broom handles. But I just the previous generation, and I'll tell it straight out, you know, that the baby boomers and the Generation X's are fucking retarded. They're stuck in their little power vacuum of when they believe that they were relevant, and they're still trying to control the world using their own means. They don't understand that they are at the point where they need to step aside as a society and let the new generation start to take over and advance the world. But, yeah, sorry, I pulled this very well away from politics, but
no, you're fine.
Believe me, believe me, government, to have people who are not anywhere 40 plus in politics, you would see a complete turnaround in the world. But unfortunately, it seems that you have to be over the age of 40, and by the time my generation starts hitting their 40s, that age is going to go up to 60 and then 80 and, you know, whatever keeps the previous generations in control.
I'd like to point out that, you know, there are some politicians in the American government that are in their 80s, 90s.
Yeah, and they're still making the decisions that affect everybody's beliefs and the way that the country works, even though that they don't realize that the country has fucking changed in their time on the planet.
Oh,
no,
I agree.
Let's judge old shit by today's standards, but let's keep the world back where it used to be back in those days.
Well, basically their view on it is anything to discredit their opponent. You know, never mind that, you know, it could go to Linda McMahon's values. They could use that technically against her for that, but, you know, honestly, it's... Show me something that she's directly done. That's her company. That's not her. I mean, American politics is that you have the candidate and then you have 50 people working underneath them. And they're doing background checks and searches to find everything they can on the other person to use against them. And this
she was an employee of Titan Sports. Back when it was formed, what is today WWE Inc. or whatever they want to call themselves now. They're still Titan Sports. She was an employee.
She was the CEO
of that company.
She was the CEO of the company.
Yeah. But she was still an employee of the company. She still had no real say in what went on.
She was the corporate side of the company.
Yeah.
She was the corporate side of the company, but she still answered to the board of directors and to Vince McMahon, who was the chairman of the board. So
yeah.
She wasn't solely running that company. She was on the board of directors. She helped influence decisions on the business side. But she had nothing to do with it creatively.
No.
But and the problem is this has come up in the past. This roadblock for WWE, it's like Linda ran last year, or I'm sorry, not last year, last election. And her opponents salivated at it because it's like WWE were made. And that seems to be the only thing they can really dredge up on her is the WWE. And they keep using it against her. But what's interesting is she made it past the primary. She is the Republican candidate for Senate in Connecticut. So it's obviously the voters don't seem to mind it, or at least the Republican voters don't seem to mind it that much. So I have to wonder if, at this point, if they're pulling up the Attitude Era stuff and trying to use it against her, if they're not grabbing at straws. Because everything I'm reading is she was ahead in the polls.
Yeah, this is definitely a grabbing at straws situation. But unfortunately, the way it's being handled by the company is making her look a lot worse than if they just turned around and said, you know what? That stuff happened at a different time when the country was in a different frame of mind and political correctness wasn't running rampant like a wild beast. You cannot hold me responsible for something that happened, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago by the standards we have today. The world has changed, and so have I.
Yeah. But, well, I guess her opponents don't want to hear that.
To be honest,
she doesn't want to say it.
To be honest, this, and believe me, this is the harshest I will ever be on this, on the WWE. This is like the German people sweeping World War II under the rug.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we will not acknowledge that Hitler existed because we live in Germany and we're trying to get past it. We are trying to wash that stain off our history.
And you never will, that's
the
problem.
And you never will, yeah. And that's exactly what WWE is doing here. They're going, we don't want to acknowledge all this bad stuff that happened in the past because we're trying to, you know, make ourselves forget. So, yeah.
Yeah, and again, it's, you know what, that was our company 10, 15 years ago. Here's our company now. Here's our product now.
Indeed.
And has an official PG rating on TV, so fuck you! Or the PG equivalent to that.
Be a star. Just be a star.
Be a star, man. Be a star.
Damn right.
But I think we've beaten this topic to death.
Yeah, we have.
I see it twitching and grasping at its last strands of life.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and move on to our question of the night. for those of you who haven't been listening and want to participate in our chat room over at wildtalkradio.com, you're welcome to do so. The question of the night is as follows. How would wrestling change with an instant replay? And I hear we got some interesting responses.
We would see every clusterfuck more than once. Scott Barry says the heel would never win again. Wrestling Fanatic, instant replay in a fake sport. Yeah, McMahon tested that idea back in 1990. It would change the name as SpongeBob SquarePants with instant replay because it's not real. Storyline-wise, it would actually be terrible. It would be the same as if Superman found a cure for kryptonite where mutants were accepted and loved instead of hated and feared. It would take an aspect of the story off the table. Let's see. I call for a sweeping investigation. We had one person say, in my opinion, it doesn't make any sense. It's going to be hard for them to play this out, even if some real errors happen.
I'm just curious, the mutants and the Ninja Turtles, is that somebody from this network?
No.
Oh, wow.
You were expecting it to be someone from the network, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Only people on this network would make an X-Men and a Ninja Turtles reference in the same sentence. Just saying.
And Tim said, think about, they kind of already have it. They have replays that show things that have happened, and when you get the controversial ending, they show that, and when the story fits, the Earth has reverse decision. But I brought up, if it's a full-time thing, he says it kind of blows apart storylines and angles. Totally dumb, really. But yeah, it's because of what happened on Monday night, there's been talk of WWE bringing, using this as an angle to bring in replay full-time for a period of time anyhow, to, correct the wrongs in wrestling.
Honestly, if it was a real sport, and not knocking it, it is a sport. Guys work very hard, but when I say real, I mean in the context of, like, NFL, where it's... Although I'm not 100% convinced that NFL isn't fixed. just saying. but in that kind of context... I think it could be useful, but at the same time, wrestling's a little bit different than football, just because football, the players make an error, the ref throws a flag, they do the instant replay, and the call is either confirmed or reversed. In wrestling, you can't stop the show for every decision to be reviewed.
Right, and it would change wrestling and it wouldn't change it for the good. Just like with baseball and how they want to bring a lot of replay into it. Baseball is the game of human error. That's the same with wrestling. There's human error involved. That's what makes it, interesting.
Honestly, as far as instant replay goes in football, it's a blessing and it's a curse. Because it's ruined the game in a lot of ways, but it's helped it. Because some bad calls have been reversed, but some bad calls haven't. And in my opinion, especially with this crop of refs, it's a waste of time. As far as WWE goes, it doesn't fit. It's like, yes, they do already kind of have it. They replay the segments 50 billion times. The only time it would really be effective is like on Sunday. Where they, you have the GM, like for the title matches, where the GM or somebody is watching the match, and they come out and they say, that was a bogus finish, there were shenanigans, there were whatever, restart the match. But you can't do that every time.
No, you can't. It would take away from the anything that can happen atmosphere that wrestling provides.
Yeah, so in my opinion, I don't think it's the best of ideas, but I don't think it's the worst of ideas either in some cases. If you could do it right, it would work as far as the storyline goes, but all the time, no. So, Mace, thoughts?
It'd kill storylines. Because then everybody who felt they were cheated would be calling for the instant replay, which, as has been pointed out, would make the heels cheat to win a lot harder to get away with. However, when you get genuine mistakes like what happened with CM Punk on Monday night, then it could be beneficial. But then again, this is an entertainment medium and not really... And I'm sorry to disagree with you on this one, Lindsay, but it's not a sport. It's an entertainment medium.
Sports entertainment. Compromise.
I was trying not to be offensive to some people who think it's a sport.
I'll tell you right now, it's not a fucking sport.
Okay.
It's athletic, but it's not a sport.
A wrestler's... So I can start calling it an entertainment medium. It's not a sport since... I got the green light from you. Okay. I don't want to be disrespectful. I'm trying to be respectful.
Yeah, fuck respect at this point in time. Look, this is a storyline-driven medium. It's not something that's going to help. And if they had to stop and check replays every 5 minutes, then people would get bored and they'd start leaving the arenas. Yeah, it's fine in something like football where you have multiple, you know, you have what, 30 odd people, not even that, on the field at one time in football. And
yeah.
It's hard to work out what's happening at any particular play. You know, that's fine for instant replay, so you can double check and that's fine. But in a one-on-one competition, you don't want replays because you'll be looking forever for the most stupidest shit.
But should they bring it, should it be a rule for a controversial finish like we saw at the pay-per-view?
No, because then heels would never get a chance to go over.
Yeah, that's true.
Heels couldn't cheat to win.
Right, I understand that. I was just trying to throw that point out there.
Edge would never have had a single title reign. Mm-hmm. If they instituted a system like that. To put it another way.
True.
But yeah, that's our question of the night.
So, well, good question. But, so, as, I guess as our final topic, and again, this is chat included, what's bugging us this week? Does anybody have a gripe?
Kato, Kaelin, shut the fuck up. It's been 20 years. No one cares any longer. You say OJ did it. Great. Congratulations. Said 20 years ago, it would have been irrelevant. Just saying.
Yeah, dude. Look, too little, too late.
And Aaron Rodgers, you know, you should pay up your bet. Just saying.
Aaron Rodgers, you should show the fuck up this Monday. Please. Play.
By the way, on the Aaron Rodgers thing, a sports bar at the fairgrounds called Finish Line Sports in L.A., is serving a special called Aaron Rodgers Crybaby Chicken Club.
Aww.
It's served on San Francisco sourdough bread with 49er fries on the side. Because he's welching on the bet. He made with Boys to Men.
Just pay up, Aaron. It'll take you 5 seconds to get someone to get a picture of you in a 49ers jersey, okay?
Just saying.
Yeah, just do it.
That was bugging me this week.
But yeah, so Mace, anything bugging you?
Yeah, to all the iPhone haters out there, shut the fuck up. especially those of you who are jumping up and down about your goddamn Samsung Galaxy 3s. You are trading one herd of sheep for another. You just don't realize it because you're fucking stupid. To all the World of Warcraft players who have decided to crack the shits like a bunch of little babies about Mists of Pandaria being released on Tuesday, oh my god, they brought pandas into the game. Yes, they were a joke originally made in Warcraft 3. You know what? After having gone through a game where the world has been invaded by demons, where you've had the undead try and take over the world, and where you've had one big fuck-off dragon try and burn the place to a cinder, it's actually not bad to have a livelier and more comedic-looking game after going through all that shit. It's not... And if you don't like it, fine. Cancel your subscription. There are still millions of other people who are going to play. Personally, pandas rock.
Actually, the first time I ever saw the commercial, I thought it was for another Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
A lot of people said Kung Fu Panda. Like, the commercials are very Kung Fu Panda-ish. Like, literally, Holly, people went, oh my god, Kung Fu Panda 3, and I'm like, so? Kung Fu Panda was fucking awesome. Except this time we get pandas without Jack Black. Which makes it even more awesome, because Jack Black is not fucking funny.
For the win!
Plus, the pandas have, like, awesome dances this time.
They have awesome dances?
Yeah, every race gets their own dance, and I'll see if I can...
While he looks that up, what's bugging you, Lindsay?
Actually, I'm kind of good, aside from, you know, the bitchy Mormon girls in my classes and having to do dot art till I, you know, paint little dots on canvas till I almost went blind. I'm good. So, go 49.
Found panda dances, by the way.
Yay! But
feel free to go.
We'll look at it after the show.
Go Packers! Go Falcons! I would say go Weber State Wildcats, but they suck.
Which team is it, Atlanta? They're the Falcons, yeah?
Yeah, Atlanta's the Falcons.
They are very... By the looks of it, they're going to have a very awesome season.
Yeah, they've kind of shown up this year.
They're going to be the team to beat, I reckon.
I hope so. Because I've got half of them in fantasy.
Yeah, you're not allowed to pick more, supposedly. Because you beat Scott Barry twice.
Yes, I kicked Scott Barry's... Scott Barry's ass twice. In the same week. Go me. And all of it was purely by luck. Because the Falcons showed up Monday. And they showed up big. But yeah, other than that, I think I'm good, so I guess I'll go ahead and take us out. Mace, do you have anything you want to pimp?
Follow me at the Macing. Keep an eye on... Well, hopefully Rock will retweet these through Twitter. I'm probably going to put out some Mists of Pandaria videos, considering I'm now playing around with the software to capture stuff, so hopefully I'll put up like Let's Plays and stuff like that. So just keep an eye out on the Wild Talk Radio Facebook page, Twitter, website. I might actually have like podcasts going up this weekend. I've actually like have put some effort into shit. Isn't that scary? I'm done pimping. Go forth.
All right, Rock, go.
CB Radio Saturday at midnight news. Sunday, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with the return of Tim Stein. Monday night, it's the Ron Poe Show. Join me and Lindsay as we talk Monday Night Raw, because Mace is going to be playing WoW. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Logic, 9 p.m. Eastern. The artist formerly known as Winter will be on the program. Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show with Scott Barry, Jed Schaefer, and Cheapwood Paneling. Jed's on Twitter. Follow him. He's on the just look up Wild Talk Radio on Twitter and you can find him. I think it's Jed the Luddite or something like that.
Yeah, at Jed the Luddite.
Yeah, so hashtag BS2012. And then we're back for another edition of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network, WTRProductions.net. And check out the WTR Wrestling We're Coming Tomorrow, which features little girls in wrestling.
Oh dear.
Flat-chested women, as it says.
Yeah, they have no boobs. Sorry.
So, but, check it out.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, so for those of you who were looking forward to tuning in to Booker D, Booker T. God, I can't even say his name. Unfortunately, he didn't call in this evening. However, we are going to try to reschedule the interview, so we do apologize for that. But still, stay tuned to the show every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. But for those of you that did tune in for the interview and who listen in general, at least go pick up his book. It's called From Prison to Promise by Booker T. Huffman, and it's with Andrew William Wright. Rock and I were actually able to get a hold of an advanced copy, and it is very, very good. So for anybody that's looking for a good read, definitely pick it up, read it, enjoy it. I'd like to express my thanks to Bridget from Medallion Press for sending us the copy of the books, including the extra hardcover, which was won by Kane Kittens this weekend in the Pick'em Challenge, and I will be sending that to you tomorrow via the mail. So keep an eye out for that. But on that note, you can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. And, of course, go to CassidyRiley.net. Click on that little store button and go buy his merchandise, please. It will make him very happy, and subsequently it will make me very happy. But on that note, I think we're good, unless anybody has anything else.
We're good.
All right. So for Mace and for Rock, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com. And we will see you later. Night.
WildTalkRadio.com.